So they left the presence of the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they had been found worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. These words we read at the very end of our reading from the Acts of the Apostles. I'd like to maybe focus on that phrase, but also before doing that, our reading tonight, it was kind of from the Acts of the Apostles, it was kind of a cut and paste out of the fifth chapter of Acts of the Apostles, and there were a few details I thought were important if you just read the story from the Bible. One was that, so when the disciples were before the Sanhedrin, it says that they were enraged. They brought them in and for questioning them because they were preaching Jesus. And they were enraged, it says, and they wanted to kill them. These men were furious. And so we didn't read this part, but then the Pharisee gets up, or one of the elders gets up and defends Peter and the disciples. And so then they only have them beat and flogged, and then they send them out. So they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of the Lord Jesus. So the disciples, they weren't just given a verbal reprimand, they were beaten. And in fact, the elders wanted to kill them. But then we read tonight, rejoicing that they had been found worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name, they went out. And then what the next verse that follows that is, and every day in the temple and at home they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. So the disciples, they were brought in, they were yelled at, almost threatened to be killed. Then they get beaten or flogged, and then they're told not to do it again, and the next day they're out there preaching again. It just made me ask myself, what for us, you know, what would we do if we were commanded by the police or the government, if we were commanded to not preach God's name, the name of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, what would we do? My first thought was, well, we don't do it anyways. If they came and told us, we would say, well, okay, we don't have to change anything. It'd be the easiest thing for us to not do that. But for many of us, it'd be the easiest thing to not do that, because I wonder how much we Christians really do that. Not that we're all called to be out on the street corners preaching, but how much really of our lives do we devote to Christ? I think a lot of you have heard that question. If we were put on trial for being Christian, would there be any evidence to convict us? And I think for many of us, some of that evidence is hard to find, including deacons. I just want to direct our attention back to this. So they left the presence of the Sanhedrin. They were just beaten. They left the presence of the Sanhedrin rejoicing that they had been found worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. This phrase was brought to my attention a few weeks or a month or two ago. A few of us seminarians, every Saturday we go down to Planned Parenthood and we pray out there in front, and sometimes we get a chance to speak with the women or fathers going in. But there was one time a few months ago where we were standing out there praying, and this car came out, a couple guys in the car, and they came out of the Planned Parenthood parking lot, and they came out, and the street is behind us as we were praying, and they came out and they threw something at us. I think it was like a cup of some liquid. We were hoping it was just water, but some liquid. And that just made me think. My first reaction was maybe a little angry, or you know, who they think they are. Don't they know that we're just praying here and we want to help these women that are coming in here? And it really was just an insult. Of course, nothing. I mean, it's such a small thing, but that just made me think. Like my last instinct is to rejoice in that. Rejoicing that we are found worthy to suffer, whether in small ways or big ways, for the sake of Jesus Christ. I'd like to unpack that a little bit. This phrase. rejoicing that they have been found worthy to suffer dishonor. And the first word of that rejoicing, it doesn't just say that they weren't afraid or that they endured courageously or fearlessly these sufferings, this dishonor. That concept of rejoicing is pretty powerful. We are told, do not be afraid when you are being asked to suffer, but rather rejoice. And then St. Peter, in one of his, in his first letter, the first letter of St. Peter, he says basically the same thing. He says, rejoice in the measure that you share Christ's sufferings. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, you are blessed. And this is just kind of a contradiction, this idea that you should rejoice when you suffer and that you are blessed when you suffer. Kind of a, definitely a paradox, a surprise. And then the next phrase, the idea, it says, they rejoice that they were found worthy. The idea that unless we are found worthy, we won't be granted the privilege of suffering, so to speak, suffering for the name. It turns the tables on what our Christian life and our life is about. Suffering for the name of Jesus is a privilege. It is a privilege that only those who are worthy receive. And I say to myself, thank goodness I'm not worthy of suffering. You know, may I forever remain unworthy of suffering. I don't mind if that privilege or blessing falls on other people, but it's a tremendous blessing, and it's an honor that we need to earn. And very often we think, Lord, what do we do to, you know, for you to inflict us with this suffering? But maybe we can think of it as God the Father. He looks down and he says, I find you worthy to suffer with my son, worthy to share the sufferings of my son. Then the phrase, just to suffer dishonor. They rejoiced that they had been found worthy to suffer dishonor. Of course, the fact that we suffer very often, it's suffering in itself, of course, is not a good. But suffering can become, through the power of Jesus Christ, a work for good, and even for our salvation. Every one of us who suffer, if we suffer intentionally for the name of Jesus Christ and for Jesus Christ, it really has a salvific power, not only for us, for others, for those that we offered up. It is really, there's a power in it, if we use it that way, if we want it to be that way. And then it says that they suffered dishonor. Of course, they were beaten, but also just the idea of honor and a good reputation, it's worth a lot for us. And how willing are we to give that up? You know, we aren't flogged every day, but many times we have to give up some bit of our honor for the sake of Christ, even to the point of losing a friendship over the faith. That can be very difficult. Many have had to lose family or friends to follow their belief in Jesus. And that's something I really have not had to do much, but I think there are so many, I've heard of so many stories of people giving up friends and family for the sake of Christ. And if you have, what our reading from Acts of the Apostles tells us, if you have done that, and it, as much as it hurts, rejoice. Rejoice that you've been found worthy. Then that last phrase, for the sake of the name. They suffered dishonor for the sake of the name. The reason why we suffer really makes all the difference. A few, maybe like a month or two ago, I gave the image of, so G.K. Chesterton, he wrote, you know, the true warrior isn't a good warrior because because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him. Kind of a similar thing, that the reason why we suffer is not because we enjoy suffering, etc. It's because we love someone. We hear the phrase, God loves a cheerful giver. And that just implies that, you know, if you give fearfully or grudgingly, there's really no use in that. And who of us wants to receive a gift that's given grudgingly or anything like that? That makes no use of it. Well, same with suffering. If we suffer because we want to lose weight, for example, or if we suffer because we want to prove to ourselves that we can suffer, or we can put up with that, they're perhaps, you know, good starting motivations, but the real motivation for any sort of suffering that we endure should be for the sake of the name of Jesus Christ. Everything that we do should be done in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We've all heard offered up. I think we've heard that a lot. Offered up. And that is so true because we need to be intentional about our sufferings and offering them up. Our little inconveniences, our troubles, they all need to be given rejoicing, offering them to God. We need to endure them, but also more than that, we need to rejoice in them for the sake of Christ. We offer them to Him. We may not be able to decide whether we suffer, but we sure can decide how we suffer. Let's give them as offerings to God for His sake. And then it's just important to remember that we suffer joyfully, not because we love to suffer, not because we love, but rather because we love someone, because of someone who has given His life for us. We suffer joyfully because Christ suffered for our sins. We suffer joyfully because He calls us to suffer with Him so that we might be raised to eternal life with Him. And just to close, I might direct our attention to the gospel. There in the gospel we have Jesus asking Peter, Peter, son of John, do you love me? And He is speaking that to us when we hear that read today in this evening in the gospel. He's speaking that to us as well. Do you love me? And we can say, yes, Lord, you know that we love you to some degree, perhaps not perfectly. And then He tells us, then feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Or more personally to us, in this case, if you love me, then suffer with me. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then suffer with me. Blessed, He says, blessed are those who suffer for my sake.